Jack Daniel's whiskey at 1.5 is how the folks around here have been living their lives.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porch Show on FM Talk 106.5, 34 minutes after the hour. Still to come on the program, Mobile County Commissioner and I'm a First Congressional District Republican nominee, Jerry Curl. And then we will close out the program at the 11 o'clock hour with former Auburn head football coach and the Republican nominee for United States Senate, Tommy Tuberville. So make sure that you stay tuned for that. But joining us now, always exciting and a real privilege to introduce my next guest from Alabama's 5th Congressional District, becoming a regular on FM Talk 106.5, which is always a good thing, Congressman Mo Brooks. Congressman, how are you this morning?
Doing well. Voted not too long ago. Strong Republican box. Huge turnout, long lines, the longest lines I'd ever seen at that box. It took us about 30 minutes to get from beginning to end. Now traveling down to Montgomery for some meetings with some public officials before going to Tommy Tuberville's victory party tonight.
Well, that's a full day for you. Also going to be on with us our special election coverage tonight at some point, I believe. So a lot to react to. Your sense of it right now, do you still feel good about Trump's chances this evening?
Well, I feel great about, say, Jerry Curl. We've known each other for a while. Look forward to him serving in the United States Congress. Look forward to Tommy Tuberville winning, serving the U.S. Senate. And I know Donald Trump will win the state of Alabama. But how things are going in some of these battleground states, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Minnesota, North Carolina, Florida, Arizona, gosh, you know, I don't know those voters as well as I know the pulse of the people of the state of Alabama. So it's going to be something to watch. I'm going to be tuning in as best I can.
Well, do we read anything into these big crowds, particularly in these battleground state rallies Trump has been having, that there is enthusiasm there that maybe things aren't as dire as the mainstream media has led us to believe?
Well, this is the most important election in American history, with the possible exception of the Frederick Douglass Abraham Lincoln election in 1860, which we all know was followed by a civil war that cost hundreds of thousands of Americans their lives. That one arguably is more important, but this one also involves a fundamental shift in the values that we've held as Americans for centuries. And it's a choice between socialism, which is dictatorial, where you cede individual liberty to the government to dictate what you as a citizen can and cannot do, versus free enterprise, liberty, and freedom. And so these are fundamental values. So I'd anticipate that with that kind of political fight, that we're going to have one of the largest, if not the largest, election turnouts in American history. And hopefully the voters will do the right thing and protect the values that have helped to make us the greatest nation in world history for 75 years now.
You mentioned the high turnout here in Alabama, and I wonder if that translates to something. Did Alabama is a safe Republican state, and it's probably not going to go for Joe Biden when it's all said and done, and people know that, yet they're still willing to go wait in line for a half hour or an hour in some cases and go cast the vote anyway. And if that's reflective of Republicans in Alabama, what must it be like for Republicans in other parts of the country?
Well, I would hope that there's a similar attitude. This is a way to honor the sacrifices of the hundreds of thousands of Americans who have lost their lives fighting for our country so that we could enjoy the individual liberty that we possess and the right to vote. This is our voice on which direction we want our country to take going forward. And so certainly in the state of Alabama, we understand how important that is. I pray that other people around the country will act as we have acted and show the kind of leadership that voters need to show in directing our elected officials on how we as a country want to move going forward.
Joined by Congressman Mo Brooks here on the program, going down ballot, going down ticket. We haven't talked quite as much about this, but the Senate and the House, do you have any feelings on where that might be when it's all said and done?
Well, I'm anxious. I don't know how early voting is going to affect things. Certainly, if everybody voted today, I'd feel much better about the Senate and the House. But we've had about 100 million people, pretty close to that, who voted earlier, thereby making themselves less knowledgeable about the information that has come forth in the last 3 or 4 weeks that has changed the opinion of a lot of voters who are voting today. So I don't know how to factor in the early voting. I don't know how to factor in the potential for fraud that's at a level we've never had to face in the history of voting in the United States of America. I hate to have to be in a position where I worry about whether we're going to have results that accurately reflect the will of American voters.
Well, and you know, you bring this up as well, the shenanigans or early voting or any of that. Do you think that that will be the difference maker? That perhaps Democrats did a really good job at the get out the early vote. That maybe that could work for them, and should Republicans maybe in the future respond accordingly?
That certainly would be an option. If the Democrats have had unusual success with early voting, then I would think that the Republicans would try to counteract that in future elections. But to me, the only people who should be allowed to vote early are those people who cannot vote on Election Day. And that's what we do in the state of Alabama with our absentee ballots. The very name absentee means that you're being absent on Election Day. Hence, you have the right and the duty to vote early. But outside of that, no one should be voting except on Election Day. Let me give you an example of the problem that we may face. Let's use Pennsylvania. Let's say that they sent out millions upon millions of early voting ballots, okay? And then people show up at the polls to vote on Election Day. How in the world are these poll workers going to know who voted early by a mail and who is voting twice on Election Day when some of the ballots that were mailed in aren't going to be looked at until after the Election Day is behind us? But that's exactly what's happening. They're allowing in North Carolina ballots to come in 9 days after the Election Day. So who's going to make sure that people aren't voting twice? I'm very frustrated by the systems they have in some of these states. They need to copy what we have in the state of Alabama, where you notify the election officials that you're going to vote early with an absentee ballot that is entered into a database, and then that person is prohibited from voting on Election Day, or if they do vote, what's the name of that kind of ballot?
The provisional ballot. Yeah,
is the name of it.
Well, you know, here we are. Should Congress play some kind of role in you know, we like our states deciding how, you know, everybody does elections and keep it at the state level, but with all this uncertainty right now and states seem to be taking some liberties, is it time for the federal government to look at, or the Congress to look at that and maybe put in place some guidelines?
Well, the federal government has already intervened some, and unfortunately the intervention was at the instigation of the Socialist Democrats, and so they did away with a lot of the identification requirements, the proof of citizenship requirements with their motor voter law, thereby enhancing the prospect for election fraud and illegal voting. So if we're going to do it, it needs to be an instance in which the Republicans are in total charge of the House, the Senate, and the White House, because under those circumstances, we will try to implement safeguards that ensure that only American citizens vote, and that the American citizen who does vote is in fact the citizen who is allowed to vote. That's voter identification.
Yeah, with everything in chaos, and if we're still sitting here by tomorrow or a week from today or even beyond that, still don't have an idea of who the President of the United States is, and it sends the country into chaos. It just seems like that somebody or some entity needs to step up and ensure that nothing like this happens again. You mentioned you were worried about it, but do you worry about what might be a byproduct of this uncertainty about the outcome of a presidential election?
Absolutely. Our republic is based on the right of citizens to vote and determine who is elected to public office and which direction our cities, counties, states, and the federal government will go. If you undermine the reputation of the election process, you are at the same time undermining the reputation of our republic and the respect that citizens should have for the policy decisions of those who are in office.
Well, and that's, I guess it just remains the threat of the violence, and you seeing things boarded up around the country that you want to prevent it. Is it going to take something maybe more drastic than the kind of hands-off, laissez-faire approach that the federal government seems to be taking right now with regards to elections?
Well, I'm going to shift gears a little bit. To me, the problem with the violence is not the federal government. The problem with the violence are these mayors who do not believe in law enforcement, who do not believe in the rule of law, who are more than happy to look the other way in the face of rioting and looting and vandalism and assaults and murders. You've got to have city councils and mayors who have respect for law enforcement and are willing to empower law enforcement with the tools they need in order to ensure that we do not have these kind of riots breaking out. So, for example, tonight, it would not surprise me at all, no matter who wins, if there aren't riots and the criminal elements trying to take advantage of any uncertainty associated with the election results, or even if the election results are crystal clear, where they commit crimes in the midst of the celebrations by the victors or the protests by the losers. Criminals just take advantage of any opportunity they can to commit crimes. As long as the elected officials allow it to happen, it's going to happen to increasing degrees.
I mean, isn't that the thing that you're always going to have an element, like the Dodgers won the World Series and the other night in Los Angeles, there's people that still went out and looted and rioted, that you're always going to have this element that no matter what it is in a big event that they're just looking for that excuse, a criminal element that's looking to capitalize on the whatever chaos may ensue from said event. And that there, I guess maybe the answer here lies into that we need stronger deterrence in place to discourage this behavior.
I'm a strong believer in law and order. I'm a former district attorney of Madison County, former prosecutor in the Tuscaloosa District Attorney's Office, and deterrence works. But for deterrent to work, you have to have swift punishment, and it has to be severe enough to deter people from engaging in criminal conduct that denies other citizens the rights that they're supposed to have when they live in America. And the genesis of this problem, quite frankly, Jeff, is that you've got more and more criminals who are given the right to vote by left-wing Democrats, and that puts candidates in the position where they want to obtain that block vote of the criminal element. And in order to get that block vote, you've got to cater to their wishes. And unfortunately, the criminal element wants softer law and order. They want defunding of law enforcement. They want an environment in which they can get away with their criminal conduct. and you've got mayors and city council members who are catering to that criminal element block vote, and that results in less law enforcement and an undermining of the rule of law. That's the reason for all this. If you get right down to it, is candidates who are seeking votes, and this special interest group happens to be one that likes more crime because they're the beneficiaries of it.
And finally, get out of here on this tonight. You said you felt pretty good about Tommy Tuberville's chances here in Alabama. Otherwise, no big surprises. What do you think happens in Madison County?
I don't think you're going to see any surprises in any part of the state of Alabama, with a possible exception that Republicans are going to do a little bit better than perhaps they've done in some past elections, because it's going to be a landslide with Donald Trump at the top of the ticket, followed by Tommy Tuberville, and then in six of the seven congressional districts, you've got folks like Jerry Carl, Barry Moore in the Wiregrass, myself in the Tennessee Valley. I could go down the list. All of our Republican congressional candidates are going to win by wide, wide margins, and that just sets the trend for how voters are going to vote everywhere else. So if anything, I think you're apt to see more local elected Republicans prevail than they otherwise might, because the Republican Party and our conservative values are so well received by a significant majority of the Alabama voters.
Carson, we've got to leave it there, but thank you for making time for us this morning, and hopefully you enjoy the rest of your day today.
Well, thank you, Jeff, and I will, if we have good election results tonight, and you enjoy Mobile Bay Area and that warmer temperatures. That's better than the freeze we had last night in the Tennessee Valley.
It's not that much warmer, but it is warmer. Congressman Mo Brooks, ladies and gentlemen, we'll hear from him later this evening in our election special. I got to get a break in here. We'll be right back.